So we pray continually. God, in every corner of Borno State, send the light of the gospel. Into every corner of Lagos State, the light of the gospel. Send laborers in your mind. Hey, who will go to that kind of place? Don't worry. You know, God is interesting. Amen? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, not a joke now, all right? I mean this seriously. And don't pretend. If you are willing to volunteer tonight to be a missionary in Borno State, put up your hand. No, I'm not joking. If you're not willing, don't put up your hand. Don't try and impress me. Since I am here, my hand cannot go up. It can't go down. I'm the one asking. So you won't know what I'm thinking. But at least you can see my wife there. Her hand is not up. And since the woman is the glory of the man, it's obvious I don't want to go anywhere too. The Lord is good. Now, what am I going to say? The fact that you don't want to go doesn't mean there are no people that want to go. There are those who can't sleep now. All right? Because God has planted the spirit into them. You understand? They are looking for every opportunity to get down to Maiduguri and get to Chibok and get to all those places to go and preach the gospel. You've heard the story of David Livingstone. All right? The man came to Africa. When he arrived, you know who greeted him? Lion. Lion greeted him, and the lion's greeting is not Daniel's type. Welcome, sir. O thou prophet of the Most High. This was a lion wanted to eat the man and managed to rip one of his arms out of the socket. I think before the locals delivered him. Did he go back? No. There was a time, I think he was ill. People came, they were looking for him. One man, Stanley, that's his name, came down to Africa, looked for the man, took him back or so. I don't know whether he was that took him back to England. And then the man would be at home and he'd be lying down there and he'd be saying, the smoke from 1,000 African villages or the fire, something like that, from 1,000, rather the fire from the smoke of 1,000 or the smoke from the fire in 1,000 African villages are burning holes in my heart. He can't stay. He's not at peace. He's back in England, but he's not at peace. So he jumps on the next boat, and he's coming back. Now, it's not boat, like a flight. It's 3 hours on 3 months on the sea, 2 months on the sea. He jumps on the next boat, and he's coming down. He's not willing to stay back at home. In all of this, people are not even believing him. Yet, because of what God planted in his heart, the man wouldn't stay back at home. As you are here, feeling very happy with yourself, thank God that it's not in Enugu. There are people who are feeling very unhappy with themselves that when will I get the opportunity to go back to that place and go and do the work of the gospel? I heard Ravi Zacharias tell the story of Cambodia, when the communists finally invaded and took over, I think, Cambodia or Vietnam, one of those places, when they won the war. So that they were not evacuating, of course, foreigners, and some missions in the United States arranged to have Christians evacuated. So there was this particular guy, he took his wife and took his children, managed to get them onto one of those helicopters that the foreign people arranged. So they told him to come on board. He said no. Join now. He said no need. Of course, these are communists. They knew what was going to happen. He was a preacher, a leader in the church. They knew what they would do to him. He allowed his wife and his children to go. And as the helicopter was going up, he said, they shouldn't worry about him. That if it's only one communist he'll manage to convert, it would have been worth his staying behind. Those guys found him and drowned him before he could convert anybody. They buried him in water, killed him. You think he had any regrets? No, he was expecting it. He was just in between the time they will find, between the time they will catch me and when they will kill me, maybe I'll be able to tell somebody the truth. And they allowed his wife and his children to take a helicopter and fly away. He waved them bye-bye. And they didn't, not like, I hope we see you again, no? No. Bye-bye. See you at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's it. He knew it was final. Waved his wife bye-bye, his children. People were begging him. He said, don't worry about it. Let's go and meet the communists. And he went and waited for them. He had the opportunity to escape. That's the kind of spirit that God puts in the hearts of some people. So when you are praying for, you know, say, the heart of Islam, who will go? Don't worry. I know you don't want to go. Don't worry. There are those that want to go. There are those that will not sleep well except they go. Many of them were born there. When you hear of all these, those, you think they are all Muslims. It's not true. A huge chunk of people there are not Muslims. Many of them, they need your prayer for God to anoint them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Some of them will walk straight into Sambisa Forest. Who are they looking for? Check out. And you'll be surprised that when they are walking in, nobody will be able to do anything to them. You think God is sleeping? He's not. There's a book, Dreams and Visions, I have. I saw it being spoken about, I think, on TBN or something. So I ordered it online. I got the book. Beautiful Stories, a compilation of well-researched testimonies of how God, all right, is moving in the heart of Islam. I don't know what I told the story before. One man, he goes for Hajj every year. You know they call Hajj? Yes. He goes to Mecca every year. That's the place he preaches his own gospel. As they are milling around the big rock, you know, that big rock, stoning the devil. You know, they are going around milling the big rock. He just stops somebody, you know, the Holy Spirit is with him. Just stops somebody beside him. Hey, what's the problem? Are you okay? Why did you come here? Looking for spirit. You mind if I pray with you? The person said no. Okay, the only thing that I only pray in the name of Jesus. And that's a place where if they hear that from your mouth, they behead you. They will remove your head. If somebody just said, this man is a Christian, the law is that there's no non-Muslim that's allowed. Your presence is punishable by death. Yet the man does not miss Hajj. Every year, he buys ticket like everybody else. He goes there and he meals with the crowd. And anybody beside him must hear the gospel. And he said, nobody ever refuses his prayers. You tell them, look, I pray in the name of Jesus, they don't mind. You hold the person's hand, pray for you right there and then continue his Hajj. Next year, he's going to come back. In the same book, I told you the story. I read the story there. I think I told it here before. Of a pastor in Egypt. I don't know whether it's a pastor, a church leader in Egypt. Egypt is 90-something% Muslims, all right? And they say Egypt is the intellectual capital of Islam, all right? There, one night, he was sleeping. He heard a gun cock, boom, in his head. Somebody told him, get up. He got up, dress up, you know, those kind of things. Anyway, he was kidnapped. Carried him through back alleys, over fences, with a gun to his back. He was just waiting for the thing to go off and he'll be dead, which is normal. I mean, you know, Islamic fundamentalists, he expected that. Except that when he got to a warehouse, after they locked the door, the man who came to kidnap him removed the veil on his face. And he found himself in the circle of imams. You know, imams, not Muslims. I mean imams, rulers of mosques and everything. And they apologized to him. That one who came to kidnap him apologized and said, I'm very sorry. The only way I could get you is through this kidnapping. But we have all gathered here to come and hear the gospel that you have to preach. So shoot. Now don't be angry. This is the only way we can do it. In the afternoon, we'll go to the mosque. Don't worry. Maybe we are the imams. But the truth, we have found out through dreams and visions that Jesus had instructed them. So they say, okay, how do we get to hear this thing? You go and get that guy. How do we get him cock a gun? Kidnapped the guy. The guy was surprised. He sat down there and began to teach them the gospel of God. Why am I saying this? So that, you know, you won't be discouraging him, no matter what you pray. There are things I can't tell you because it's privileged information. Some of the most powerful Islamic emirs in this country, they are Christians. I can't tell you more than that. Outside, you could see Turban, you could see Tesby, mosque, all of them could go there. But for house, they don't lock door. But what would Shukli the Bible from where he hide them? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What I've told you is not a joke. I mean it literally. So, you think God is sleeping? He's not sleeping. What he's saying is that stop complaining. Add prayer to this thing I'm doing. Are you getting my point? Add prayer to it. Add prayer to it. Somebody gave me a testimony once in the heart of Saudi Arabia, one of the ruling families, one of those Saudi princes. They said the whole family, they are Christians, but nobody knows. They don't want to be beheaded. They don't want trouble. Nobody knows. How did they become Christian? One of these Nigerian Christians that went to go and work there is a doctor. This man's wife, you know, there are some men that are very good. He loves his wife to pieces. The woman felt very sick. And of course, money, you know, death not the respect money. Get money from now to tomorrow. The death wants to collect you. Come. And the Bible says that I know they take bribe. You know, death doesn't collect, so how should I give you? $1 million. It doesn't work. So this man's wife was sick. So the doctor decided to risk his life. He approached the man and said, is it okay with you if I prayed for your wife? And the man said, no problem. You are aware of the fact that I'm a Christian. That's how I pray. No problem. He went there, prayed for the woman, and the woman got well. After the woman got well, now the guy tell him, said the truth to so, well, this is your Jesus must be real. So, he converted the whole family. They don't tell anybody outside. Outside, everybody go tie what they call the hurricane or whatever. Tie something around the head. Nobody will suspect. Nobody suspects. Nobody suspects. No, I'm telling this whole story so that you will know that God isn't asleep. And he's still the ruler in the affairs of men. Christians look, you know, we look. You have ever said that? Hey, Islam is going to take everything over. You don't know the God you are serving. You don't know the God you are serving. And when you keep on believing it, you now give them the power to take everything over. But if you know that God is not asleep, he's awake of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Believe that and you will see it. Islam can't take anything over. Don't anybody look, hear the prophetic word of God. God said, after communism, that's the next thing I'm facing. And everything, all this noise you are hearing, bomb blasts here and there, is the beginning of the end. Amen. You're praying for a country? Listen to me, my people of God. Focus your prayer first of all on that thing. Don't even think some places are impenetrable. Don't think so. Paul, Saul in the Bible, who became Paul, Saul of Tarsus. That guy was an Islamic militant. I hope you know that. God knows how he handles such people. Say this one, don't preach to him yet. Wait. When he had armed himself as a terrorist to be going around rounding up the church, a Jewish terrorist, you know, some of what I'm trying to say. God just met him on the way. Knocked the guy down. He said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, sorry, it was a mistake. Jesus, that is no. Wait, relax. When I have his time, he will preach this gospel. Just be watching. When the people heard that Saul has believed, they said, it's a trick. They said, it's a trick. The man wants to come and number all of us. So when they say, we are going to see Brother Saul, he said, God be with you. I'll be praying for you from here. Go and see Brother Saul. By the way, don't tell him you know me. Don't mistakenly mention my name. It took a long time for people to realize that this guy, that was how sure they were that he could not believe. That's why if you are among the soldiers that went to kill Osama bin Laden, all right? Like just before you shoot and say, do you believe? Just ask the guy, because I'm telling you the truth. Osama bin Laden could have believed. There's nobody, I know Americans would like to hear this. Nobody can tell me that Osama bin Laden went to hellfire. You don't know. How will you know now? The man was in a hole for a long time. Oh, you think God hated him because Americans hate him? That's what the Bible calls zeal, but not according to knowledge.
Maybe that was his affliction. He was zealous for what he thought was the will of God. Better than Obama, who doesn't seem to have direction. Obama wake up today. Do you think a man should marry a man? No, I don't think so. They come the following year. Do you think a man should marry a man? Say, my thoughts are evolving. Then one day he said, do you think a man should marry a man? Say, I've seen a lot of good people who want to make commitment. They want to make commitment. Yes, I think a man should marry a man. And he thinks, that's the anointed. He thinks he's more righteous than Osama bin Laden. I don't have to tell you, look, let's not go there. If you read your scriptures well, if David was alive today, you know David in the Bible, the one that all of you are naming your children David now. My son, his name is David. Almost all my friends have a son called David. If you were not a Jew, if you were a Philistine and you were alive in the days of David, you will hate that fellow like Americans hate Osama bin Laden today. You don't know David? David will walk into a village of people who didn't offend him. Kill all of them. That you don't understand. He will slaughter every single person. Why? So that their kings will not know where he went to raid. He will kill man, kill woman, children. David want to marry wife. He will kill 200 men who did not offend him. Collect their foreskin, go and give Saul because he wants to marry one stupid girl who didn't have any respect for him. You know those kind of girls, you're calling me, don't you know it's 10 o'clock? Don't they sleep in your house? That's the way you won't marry. And you still call back. If you know you have it, you sinned, God is trying to punish you. You should know. There are things you do, all your friends will be looking and say, don't mind him. All his sins are about to catch up with him. Your friends. That was the kind of girl. Yet he will kill 200 Philistines. I'm telling you, so forget the fact that you are naming your children David. If you were a Philistine and you were alive at that time, you wouldn't like him one bit. Yet he was there. I found a man after my heart. I don't know whether you get my point. So I'm just telling you, don't judge Osama bin Laden. He's dead. Amen? If he opens door for you in heaven, don't think you're in hell. Then you get to heaven. You say, all right, come in. Let me show you your quarters. As he's going, you're looking and say, excuse me, this behavior looks familiar. He said, this behavior, I've seen it before. And he turns around. Yeah, you've seen it before somewhere? Yeah, OCNN! I've seen it before. Who's that man? I'm going. Yes, I come here. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. But there is no difference. You believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus too. What did I do that he did not do? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What am I saying all of these things? So don't think God is sleeping. Do you understand my point? He's not. He can meet with anybody, anywhere. One of the most powerful king of that time was Nebuchadnezzar. God converted that fellow. Read your Bible well now. Nebuchadnezzar said, it gets sense. Is this not Babylon the Great, which I built with the power of my might for the glory of my majesty? Me, only me. I too get sense. I too get power. I still get everything. God just looked at it. This guy is not a bad man. He's just a stupid man. The difference between a bad man and a stupid man. So let's teach him sense. You all remove the portion of his brain and give it to one demon to be chewing. Honestly. The demon, it's not good to wake up in the morning and see demons, they take your brain, they play football. You know, they are juggling his brain. This is how he watched them for, Bible says, 7 seasons. We don't know the length of time. He watched them for 7 seasons. And then somebody just tossed the brain back to him. Hey! You know, you play football before. Jog, just kick it in your direction. You got to catch your brain. Put them back. He said, now I worship the Most High God.
Listen, no matter how powerful a man is, when God is ready for him, he can touch him if he's touchable. Are you getting my point? It's not what you are thinking outside. I need to say this to encourage the heart of Christians. You can pray effectively for the most difficult nation on this earth, and one day, the revival of God will break out from there. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
so when you are praying, all right, don't just think some places are not touched. Listen, inside Zamfara, the gospel of Jesus will win.
Amen.
In Kano, one day soon, they will crown an emir, and it will be a publicly Christian emir.
Amen.
Say amen like you believe it.
Amen.
I will preach in emir's palaces.
Amen.
I will do Bible study there.
Amen.
I will arrive. They say, how about pastor? You don't come? Yes. Everybody go sit down, cross leg like this, on the floor. Goes down. And I will lead worship. I will bring the scriptures and begin to decode the counsel of God for their nation there.
Amen.
I will do that.
Amen.
I will do it in two areas. There's the one that I won't tell you or tell anybody. I will go Nicodemusly. When I'm going, you won't even know it's me. I will not wrap my head like this. Turban. I carry big sack, this thing, wear it. It will drive me in a vehicle. I will carry a rosary, you won't know. As soon as we enter, they just say, this way. As soon as they lock the door, you unwind. You don't come. Yes. You will see the place will be full of people. We begin to share the word of God. That one will happen.
Amen.
You know, God can do these things, though.
Yes.
You know, I wrote an article some time ago titled The Limits of God. The Limits of God. And we are the ones that set limits on God. Currently, the Americans are the bad limits of God concerning the gospel in the Middle East and in those countries around Asia. They preach. Oh, just watch TBN. They preach. They'll say that God can save anybody apart from Osama bin Laden. God loves everybody. Anybody who comes to him, as long as it's not an Arab, will be saved. They don't know what they are saying it to. They'll be telling you how God loves everybody and everybody should preach the gospel to anybody. But then they'll technically on that be telling you, if it's an Iraqi, God is not sure. Some of them are hard to save. If it's Iranian, until they let go of nuclear weapon, God can't save them. If they are Jordanian, if they love Americans and love Israel. In fact, since they don't love Israel, all of them are doomed and going to hellfire, which is a fat lie. More Israelis will go to hellfire than the Arab neighbors. You've not heard that before? Oh, let me say it again. When you are counting those going to hellfire, there are more inside Israel than their Arab neighbors. That's a matter of fact. Well, it's not a matter of fact that I'm so sure there are more, but at least they are equal. That one is a matter of fact. God does not discriminate. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, you are an unbeliever. If you are an unbeliever, you are an unbeliever. If you reject the gospel of Jesus, you are doomed. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, God won't say, they preach gospel to you, and you knew it was the truth, but rejected it. I will have condemned you now, but you know, your name is Jacob, you know, Ehud Barak. Let him enter heaven. And now call the other fellow and say that, did you believe? No. Did they preach to you? Yes. You heard the truth, and you knew it was the truth. What's your name? Muhammad bin Laden. Hey, come on, hellfire! He doesn't do like that. He does not do like that. The same God is rich unto all that call upon his name, for there is no difference. 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 But our American brethren, they lie to us that God loves the Jews, he hates the Arabs. It's a lie. What did I say? What did I say? It's a lie. God loves everybody, and everybody should believe if they want his favor. And that is one major reason. Listen, go and read that my article, The Limits of God. That is one major reason why God currently has a problem. Now, you say, God has a problem. Yes, I told you we are the one that can limit him. And that's why I'm preaching like this. That's why God has a problem. We're reaching those, because when we are broadcasting on TBN, and we are broadcasting those places, we keep on telling them, do you want to be saved? Love your Israeli neighbor. As if that's the key to salvation. If he wants to be saved by loving somebody, his neighbor on his street is more important than the neighbor across the national boundary. We wake up. Do you? Let me explain something to you. Do you realize the amount of hatred between those people? The typical Arab and the typical Jew. They hate themselves so much. If you present God as the God of the Jew, he can't believe. I don't know whether you get my point. Believe? He's not going to believe. And the truth is that God is not the God of the Jews. God is the God of everybody. You have to let him understand that God loves him as much as he loves his Jewish neighbor. There is only United Nations and Americans that are showing partiality on land matters. You know, God doesn't care who owns the land. I know you say, are you a preacher? Yes, I am. Every other preacher is saying the opposite. They are all telling you what is not true. Are you the only one that knows the truth? Apparently, it appears like that in this. I don't mean like that too. I'm not the only one that knows the truth. Just that most of us who know it, we don't talk loud. They're not the greatest talk. If I say this kind of thing on TBN, they withdraw my program. That's not supposed to be a joke. I'm not joking, no. You don't know the kind of things that Christians do. And that's one reason why the Arabs can't. It's hard. It's hard. You are going to war. They tell you that you are going to fight for this land. God is with your enemies. He's not with you. So what should I do? Believe in that God. Eh? Believe in the God of my enemies? Doesn't make sense. If it was true, would I even be thinking about it? But it is not even true. It is not true. All the promises of God are only confirmed in whom? In Christ Jesus. So why are you telling me that an unbeliever has a right to the promises? When Jesus said that you'll be bragging, he said, you have Abraham for our father. He said, you're of your father the devil. Was that not what he called them? What is the problem with Christians? Let me preach my message. People say, I don't sidetrack small. What am I doing saying all of these things? We should have the faith to pray because God is actually moving. That's what I'm saying, none of these things. Kano belongs to God. Zamfara belongs to Jesus Christ. If you believe this, amen.
Amen.
Every corner of this nation, from Sokoto, zoom across to Maiduguri, go down. Which one is on this side? Is it Maiduguri now? Where's Maiduguri? This side, okay. Down to Calabar, across to Lagos. And by every corner, thank God Enugu is even in the center of all this one we have drawn. Everyone belongs to who? To Jesus Christ. And the limit, that's what I was talking about. The problem is when people say no, that one belongs to Islam. But I've come to tell you today, it is not true. Your primary prayer for this nation is not for economic prosperity. That one is added. It is not even for peace. Again, that is added. The primary prayer is that God, this is what we, your people in this nation, this is what we are saying. We are saying the gospel of Jesus will penetrate into every corner of this country. No matter the resistance that exists right now, the gospel will penetrate into every corner of this country. Lord, send laborers into this harvest field. Lord, send laborers into this harvest field. The gospel will... We talk about those people as if they are closer to hellfire. This is your village. What do you think about it? I don't know if I get my point. All the villages where they will kidnap people and go and hide them there, they are worse than Boko Haram. Don't you know that? Boko Haram they have something. It may be crazy, but they think they are working for God. But this guy, he knows he's not working for God. He knows I'm selfish. I love money. I hate my neighbor. No virgin is waiting for me in heaven. When I die, I will go to hell. They know. You know the kidnappers know. He's not doubting it. At least the suicide bomber thinks so. He may be deceived, but at least he thinks so. He thinks I'm blowing myself. That's why, you know, before they blow, you know what they shout? Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. No, it's incantation. No, that's how they do it. The man, before he blows himself, as you're approaching, he wants to blow. So once you hear Allah Akbar disappear. It's like a chant. He starts increasing the pain. Once he hears Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, look, just dive. Something's about to happen. You understand my point?
What am I going to explain? At least he thinks he believes in God. You know, the armed robber and the kidnapper? Nothing. He doesn't even think he's going to go to heaven. He doesn't even think he's worthy of purgatory. He knows this one, once I die, I'm dead. I will be condemned. I will go to hellfire. But before I die, may I chop life small. What am I trying to say? Down in your neighborhood, they need as much gospel as the people in Sambisa Forest. Do you realize that? Everybody needs this gospel. And what is our job as the church of God? We will pray that the gospel of God will enter into every corner of this nation. Did I talk about your village? Did I mention about your village? What about your brothers and your sisters, your cousins? They all need this gospel. And like I've been trying to emphasize, without you praying specifically, the gospel will not enter into certain places. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's just take a minute. All right, we are closing now, but it's a good time. Now that we've understood some principles, let us say simply to God, say in the name of Jesus, send laborers, send light. Those are the two things. The light of the gospel and laborers to carry it. Send them into every corner of this nation, into the emirs' palaces, into the bishops' courts. Some of these bishops don't know God. We need a prayer. We need this prayer. Into my village, into my home, into my family, to the heart of my brethren, that's naturally speaking, my brothers, my sisters, my father, my mother, my cousins. I have a right to speak concerning this nation, therefore I say, into every corner of Enugu State, into every corner of Lagos State, into every corner of River State, into every corner of Anambra State, into every corner of Imo State, into every corner of Benue State, into every corner of Abuja, Nasarawa State, Plateau State, Zamfara State, Kano State, Sokoto State, Borno State, Kebbi State, every single state, Katsina, every single one, Lord, I am asking, send laborers into the harvest field. Send the gospel. That is what we need. That is the light of this nation. Say, that is the light of this nation. That is the light of this nation. Therefore, we are asking, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. Say, Lord, volunteer as if you have a choice. Say, Lord, I am a laborer for your harvest field. Say it, I have been bought. I have been bought with a price. Now I live for you. I live for you alone. Say, Lord, I live for you. I live for you alone. I live for you. I live for you alone. I live for you. I live for you alone. I am a laborer in your harvest field. Say it again. Say, Lord, send laborers into your harvest field. Nigeria, we declare, is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This country will serve Jesus Christ. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please, can you look up for a moment? I want to say this, then we'll share the grace and we're out of here. Believe the word of God. What did I say? What did I say? Jesus said, whatever you shall bind on earth, what will happen to it? You know, many of us in Nigeria, we are bound in northern states. Do you know that? We have bound many places and said to them, you will never hear the gospel. And we don't realize it. It's by our words. My message today is this. He also said, whatsoever you shall lose on earth, shall what? Shall what? So if you and I say, we lose Zamfara State from the shackles of Islam, and we declare that the light of Jesus will penetrate that place and break every hold that Islam has on it, listen to me, it will happen. Let's just say one more time. Everybody, just shut your eyes for a moment and say, we lose.